We're back together again today, and I'm glad you're here. And you know what would make me even more thrilled would be an email or letter from you. I've been giving you this invitation throughout the month of May. May is the month for mail. Of course, you can write to me anytime about anything, but I'd value a specific note from you this month, and we have just a few days left. If I receive your email by May 31st, or your letter is postmarked before May 31st, which is Friday, I'll be sending you this gift certificate to the Banner of Truth website. This way, you can purchase for yourself whatever you'd like. And who doesn't value a gift card? Personally, I am a fan of them. It allows the recipient to make his or her own choice. So be that recipient today if you write to me. And I'll remind you, this is as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, your name. 2, how do you listen? Radio or podcast? If it's radio, or are you listening on WEZE, WROL in Boston, or KDIA in San Francisco? 3, tell me why you listen. What does God is mean to you? And 4, include any comments about the program or questions you might have. If you do not have any, still write. Just do 1, 2, 3. Get your email or letter out to me today. I look forward to hearing from you. And if you have already written, thanks. Today is our final day in Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52. I want to read this text for you and then give you my summary and concluding comments. This is the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for Jesus among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And Jesus said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which Jesus had made to them. And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth. And Jesus continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. That is Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52, and this has been our focus since Monday, May 6th. So if you want to hear for the first time or listen again to all that has been said, get the God Is podcast beginning Monday, May 6th. Stay tuned to find out how to do that and begin at Monday, May 6th, 2019. Here is Jesus, born to Mary, and the man God chose as Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. And Jesus lives these first 30 years of his life on earth in quiet seclusion and in the daily routines of Galilean duty. In that way, he is like us. He goes about his business as any person would. In this, I think Jesus shows great patience. He knows that he has been sent to Israel to redeem his people, the Jews, and all people, the Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, from sin. His is a divine mission, and Jesus is God. He is always God. He does not grow into becoming God. He emerges from Mary's womb as God in human flesh. But he does not immediately begin an active public ministry. No. He humbles himself. He emptied himself. And he took on the form of a servant, a man exercising great patience. It is only after he has grown and become strong, increasing in wisdom, as verse 40 says, and after he has kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, as verse 52 says, that Jesus, at the age of 30, then begins his public ministry, which we will see next time. Oh, God is patient. He is so very patient. And we see this forbearance and how much self-restraint Jesus shows. To me, this is one of the most remarkable truths about Jesus. He lives intentionally, slowly, step by step, stage by stage, and in no rush. Frankly, this sometimes bothers me about Jesus. In reading the Gospels, I often feel, come on, speed it up, Lord. But he is moving at his own pace, marching to the beat of God. And then furthermore, by way of drawing this passage to a close, I hope you have noticed how devoted to God the Father Jesus is. Luke 2, verse 49, and Jesus said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Jesus says this to Mary and Joseph. And we've talked about it together. Jesus is found in the temple, and why is he there? The boy Jesus is in his heavenly Father's, in God's house to worship God, to pray to God, and to learn about God from the perspective of the teachers that were there. Remember, he was listening to these teachers, and Jesus was asking them questions, listening, asking them questions. He's learning. As we will learn throughout his life here, indwelling our world, Jesus Christ was devoted to God above and beyond everyone else and all else. He demonstrates the patience of God. He worships God. He's in constant fellowship with God through prayer, and he learns of God from God. This is almost too remarkable to talk about, and I think it leads to a very practical question. What about our lives? How are you and I using our quiet, routine lives? Are we depending on God to develop intimacy with us just as we move from task to task within any given day and night? I think that's where he does that for us. God is always seated on his throne, anticipating and expecting us. And in Jesus, he comes toward us and walks among us. If you come to this time today not yet a believer in his son Jesus, then God commands you to repent of your sin, to turn away from it, and to come running to Christ so that he can forgive you of your sin and set you free. If you come to this time today one of Christ's disciples, then God commands you to also come as a habit to worship him, to be in constant fellowship with him in prayer, and to learn from him, to learn of him, and also so that he can forgive you of your fresh sins. Will you come before the God of the universe before this day is over? Will you learn from the young man Jesus how to develop intimacy with God? I hear so much today in churches and Christian broadcasting and podcasting and online about having an experience with God or with the Holy Spirit. Preachers can make it seem that all you need is one big, kind of life-changing experience, and that's all it will take for your life to be radically changed. And while if we are talking about that precious time when your repentant heart meets the grace of God for the first time, I agree. That is very transformational spiritually. That's when you are, in the words of Jesus, born again. But listen to me closely. To develop true intimacy with God takes a lot longer than a momentary experience. It takes the rest of your life. Some Christians try to go from thrilling experience to a more thrilling experience, like an addict looking for that next fix. Some church services are designed this way, constantly playing on your emotions. But I do not believe it. What we followers of Christ need more than anything is to be taught how to be his disciple in the quietness of our routine lives. You know, down in the nitty-gritty, when no one is looking but God is, when the kids are driving us completely crazy, but God wills you to parent them as he parents you, when your spouse really needs to just shut up and listen, and God is listening. And when you are at work and you think your attitude there doesn't really matter, but Jesus seeks for you to be a witness to your colleagues. He wants to be a witness through you to them. And when temptation strikes and Jesus can lead you out of it, but you give in again and again, ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit. I am not a fan of a cloistered life because I do not see that such a lifestyle is biblical. By cloistered, I mean Christians being kept away from the outside world, such as one would do in a monastery or home somewhere. No, I think Christians need to very much live in the real world and yet be so invested in intimate, close relationship with our Lord that we shine as beacons of light in the darkness of the century in which we find ourselves. And so every day, like you, I get up and get ready and move about in the society such that I'm constantly bumping up against people who are absolutely, shockingly unaware of the majesty of God Almighty. And like you, I have these people within my own extended family. And I ask myself this sometimes, when they listen to me and watch me and know about how I live my life, what conclusions will they make about who God is, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit? We have very routine lives, don't we? And it is in those days and nights where our relationships with God either flourish or wither. Well, I pray for you, and I pray that you won't wait for or seek a spiritual high, some amazing experience. My hope for you is that you'll learn how to obey God and live for Him in the simpleness, even sometimes in the boredom of your hours, your weeks, your months, and years. And that slowly and over time, you'll grow so close to the living God that you will not be able to contain your joy at seeing Christ either at the rapture of the church and or at the time of your appointed death. And I'm standing by and ready to talk about this with you further if you'd like. My addresses will be given in about a minute, so get ready to write those down. And reach out to me. I value the dialogue, and you will too if you'll be willing to start the conversation. But as of now, we're going to move on. Starting tomorrow, we'll go to the first gospel found in the New Testament, Matthew. We'll meet Jesus again there. He will be 30 years old, and he will speak. And those words will be the first words, recorded in the Bible anyway, that he has said since he was 12 years old in the temple in Luke chapter 2. So if you've been looking for the right opportunity to invite a family member or friend to tune in with you and or to download the podcast and listen, tomorrow's a good day to do so. And tonight is a perfect night to write to me and tell me why you listen and how you listen. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. If you'll do so by the end of this week, I'll send you this free gift. So how about it? May is the month for mail, and tomorrow is May 30. So write today. And I'll talk with you again, Lord willing, tomorrow on God Is.